live from the Poly Market Studio in L.A. It's the Young Turks.
All right. Well, the Young Turks, Cenk Uygur, Anna Kasparian with you guys. We have a gajillion hours of programming for you today. We've got the regular show, obviously, right now, 6 to 7 p.m. 7 to 7:30, we're going to do the postgame public for everyone. So you get to watch it today all at the same time. So keep that party rolling. And then we do a 2.5 hour special called Hero Day. Who is your heroes or your guardian angels throughout your life, your career, et cetera? I think that's going to be really powerful. Some of you actually send in videos and stories as well. But the hosts are me, Anna, John, Ida, and JR. We're going to rotate through. And then after all of that is done, that's 2.5 hours. After all of that is done, old school, as I told you, a gajillion hours of programming. And guys, part of the reason we do this is to serve you guys, obviously, of course, is obviously a new thing. Okay, anyways, but also because we're trying to press on. And so get us to 2021. I think we're going to be okay. But we got to stay strong right now. Get the progressive message out, build progressive infrastructure, and fight for change. And the way we do that in our case is tyt.com/go. If you give $127, you get one of these cool badass press on shirts. Oh, I love that mic. I love that mic so much. Okay. Anyways, and then at $1,000, you get a hoodie of these. Oops, sorry, guys. That was really smooth. You get a hoodie and the donor wall. And yes, I was actually had the chair on my toes. Anyway, if you want to know what you can name in the studio too, tyt.com/press on to see the different things you can name if Kelly from Texas hasn't taken them all. Or who else is my brother up there? John Lee, if he has, because they were wonderful. All of you guys are wonderful. Angel, Alex, Mike, I see your donor wall right up here. So tyt.com/go. So let's check the thermometer before we get going on the news. Wait, what? Oh, it's for the day. $3,403. We're trying to get to $50,000 in one day. I was going to say wish us luck and wish us money if you can. All right, much love. Let's see if we can see 5,000 before the end of this segment. I know it's ambitious. Always tyt.com/go. Love you guys. Let's see what's next.
Oh, are you talking to me? Oh, okay. Yeah. I didn't know if there was like another thing that you wanted to promote. Okay, so let's get started with some of the stories today. All right. So as we all know, Donald Trump has been sending federal enforcement, federal agents to cities across the country, including in Portland and Chicago. And they've been intimidating peaceful protesters and illegally detaining them with no probable cause. They do not charge these individuals as they detain them. Now it turns out that some conservatives are speaking out against Donald Trump, including Rand Paul, who we'll get to in just a minute. But first, I want to start off with conservative Judge Napolitano, who's a regular on Fox News. Take a look.
Well, the federal government cannot put troops or military personnel or police on the streets without the invitation of the governor or the legislature of the state. That's not only federal law, that's in the Constitution. You have anarchy on one hand, and then if the troops come in the street, you have a potential for even more violence on the other hand. What happened in Portland over the weekend, David, was not only unlawful and unconstitutional, it was just plain wrong. Sending armed, untrained police into the streets wearing fatigues without the knowledge or consent of the local police actually caused more violence. All the people that they arrested, David, they didn't file one criminal complaint against anybody because they didn't have a basis to do so. They were just grabbing innocents off the street.
So I think that Judge Napolitano makes a compelling argument there. And it's important to have those kinds of arguments made on Fox News, where it seems that the conservative viewers who love to fearmonger about big government and tyranny seem to love the idea of federal agents going into various cities and cracking skulls over their constitutionally protected right to protest. And by the way, just to give you some more insight into the ridiculous defense coming from the Department of Homeland Security, Chad Wolf, who's the acting head or secretary of DHS cited 40 US Code 1315 to argue that what DHS is doing is lawful and constitutional, but that's actually not the case. So the federal statute did provide flexibility to tap members of various agencies to assist in guarding federal property, but that it was never intended to send border agents, which is what's happening right now, trained to investigate a drug cartel to crack down on protests in the streets. So there's no question in my mind that what the Trump administration is doing is unconstitutional. It's good to hear a conservative on Fox News make that same argument. And Cenk, he's not the only one. Rand Paul also tweeted about this saying, quote, "We cannot give up liberty for security. Local law enforcement can and should be handling these situations in our cities, but there is no place for federal troops or unidentified federal agents rounding people up at will."
Yeah, these situations where your own party's person is in charge really shows who's principled and who isn't. And Napolitano has passed the test. He's very conservative. We disagree with him on 90% of the issues, but he is actually principled. If you're a conservative, you do not want the federal government superseding local authority. It is one of the core tenets of conservatism, states' rights. You know, when you say that Oregon and Illinois does not have states' rights to police their own streets, you're saying you don't believe in states' rights at all. And if you make the states' rights claims when it comes to racial issues or LGBTQ issues, you're basically saying, I never believed in states' rights. I just don't like black people or gay people. So, you know, those folks are outing themselves as we speak. But Napolitano apparently does actually believe in some degree of states' rights and local jurisdiction. And so you understand how our form of government works, because I know it's been a long time since eighth grade when most of us took civics, right? It's the local cops enforce local laws. So almost all of the laws that you're familiar with, theft, murder, rape, robbery, et cetera, are local laws. And so the federal government has nothing to do with them. So the federal government can protect its own property, parks, statues, etc., and usually does that without any kind of controversy. They don't normally send in hundreds of troops to do that. It's very, very unusual. In fact, it's never happened in modern times under any other president. And then the second thing they could do is they could enforce federal law. So that's why you have some federal officials in places near the border, because the border crossings are about federal law. Now, there are no border crossings in Portland, nor anywhere near it. So that's why it's weird for Customs and Border Patrol to be in the middle of Portland. And they're an army in search of laws to enforce. So when we talk about Chicago, which is apparently where they're going next, the president didn't even talk about protecting federal courthouses. He just said, there's a lot of shootings over the weekend, so we're going to Chicago. Wait, what? That's all local laws. That has nothing to do with federal laws. In other words, he's saying, these are my secret police, and I'm going to send them wherever I like, and I don't care what the Constitution or the law say.
Yeah, he's incredibly transparent about it, and he shared what his plans are with reporters in the Oval Office just recently. So let's hear his reasoning behind why he wants to send these federal agents to specifically Democratic-led areas of the country.
There was a report out this morning that you're considering sending 175 federal troops to these cities to help local law enforcement. Can you fill us in on that?
It depends on what your definition of troops is. We're sending law enforcement. Portland was totally out of control. The Democrats, the liberal Democrats running the place, had no idea what they were doing. How about Chicago? I read the numbers were many people killed over the weekend. We're looking at Chicago, too. We're looking at New York. Look at what's going on. All run by Democrats, all run by very liberal Democrats, all run really by radical left. But we can't let this happen to the cities. New York was up 348%, the crime wave. So the governor has to do something about it. And if the governor's not going to do something about it, we'll do something about it. New York's finest. And the fact is, they're restricted from doing anything. They can't do anything.
So what are you planning on doing?
Well, I'm going to do something that I can tell you, because we're not going to let New York and Chicago and Philadelphia and Detroit and Baltimore and all of these, Oakland is a mess, all run by liberal Democrats.
There's more federal law enforcement to some of these cities?
More federal law enforcement, that I can tell you. In Portland, they've done a fantastic job. They've been there 3 days, and they really have done a fantastic job in a very short period of time. No problem. They grab them, a lot of people in jail. They're leaders. These are anarchists. These are not protesters.
So it's incredible because he's trying to justify his unconstitutional behavior in sending federal agents to these cities by saying, well, there's crime, which, by the way, in the case of Chicago, you might be able to make that case. But he's doing this as a political move to help his numbers and polls when it comes to his chances of getting reelected. But since he's pretending like he cares so much about crime, and he's using crime as a justification for what he's doing, does that mean that we as Americans can go ahead and do whatever we want in order to tackle the crime that's taking place in the White House every single day? The fact that the Treasury Department took hundreds of billions of dollars in taxpayer money and gave it out to Steve Mnuchin and Donald Trump's buddies in the middle of this pandemic with absolutely no transparency. Do we get to raid the White House over the fact that Donald Trump has used the office of the presidency in order to enrich himself? I mean, how many illegal acts have already been committed by Mr. Supposed Law and Order? Right? I mean, he is the definition of crime. He has engaged in crime his entire life. He has committed tax fraud in order to avoid paying taxes on the hundreds of millions of dollars he inherited from his daddy. Okay? He has inflated his assets for tax for purposes of committing fraud to obtain loans that he had no business obtaining. I mean, there's endless examples. The hush money payments to adult actresses in order to prevent any negative information about his affairs getting out before the election. I mean, the list goes on and on. Obstruction of justice. He's been impeached. I mean, he is the epitome of crime. And so does that mean that, hey, we're justified in doing whatever we want as American citizens because we got to do something about the crime in the White House? He's just, he's a disgusting human being, and we need to get him out. He is a threat to our democracy. He's already dismantled our democracy quite a bit. And if we just allow him to do whatever he wants with federal agents treating civilians as if they're enemy combatants, it just sets the tone for the rest of the country. It just means that we don't have a democracy at all, period.
Yeah, so he mentioned in the tweet the other day that we're going to protect, and he capitalized our people, okay? And in another portion, when talking about this issue of sending in federal forces, he said, what if the crime spreads from the cities into the suburbs? So this is a tried and true Republican tactic. So don't pretend that it's just Donald Trump. The Republicans have always done this. George H.W. Bush ran the Willie Horton ad against Michael Dukakis. Scary black man let out of prison and then attacked a white woman. Oh my God, what if the scary people in the cities come to the suburbs? Only Donald Trump can protect you. Only the Republican Party can protect you. It's the oldest demagoguery there is overall, and certainly in American politics and Republican politics. So now when it comes to the specifics here, he flat out admitted, you saw it on the tape. They said, okay, what are you gonna do? I don't know, but I'll definitely do something. Wait a minute, how are you ordering federal forces into somewhere when you don't even know what it is that they'll be doing? That they'll be doing something that you haven't even thought of yet. So under what authority are you sending them? Of course, he never does his homework. The reporters are clearly going to ask you, why are you sending these guys in? Didn't even bother to come up with an excuse. So it's nakedly political. In every sentence, he says, the Democrats, this is why I'm doing this. The Democratic mayors, the Democratic cities, the Democratic governors. In other words, I'm going to use taxpayer money to do unconstitutional kidnappings in the streets so I could blame Democrats for the next 4 months so I can get reelected. It doesn't get a bigger violation of the Hatch Act, using your public office not to do the public service, but to help your own political campaign. He's now using his secret police to do that, to try to scare people into voting for him, to use racism to vote for him, etc. But you're going to send 150 people to Chicago because you said there was a lot of shootings. What federal crime was committed? The shootings are terrible. Over 60 shootings, a dozen people killed. It breaks all of our hearts, and we've got to have a smart, thoughtful strategy towards that. But they are all local crimes. They're not part of the protest at all. They're not attacking federal courthouses. They have nothing to do with the federal government. So you're going to send your federal secret police to do what?
To intimidate
people.
He didn't
even bother coming up with an excuse. That's
to intimidate people.
Sorry, Anna, one last thing. He said it there. He said, I like how they're grabbing people up. Mm-hmm. No, in our system of government, you're supposed to clearly identify yourself. You're supposed to have probable cause as to why they're getting him. Napolitano said in another portion of his speech, he's like, why aren't they going after the guys with the bats? Why are they grabbing random peaceful protesters? That doesn't make any sense. Because it isn't about maintaining order. It's about politics. He likes the visual of grabbing random people from the streets that he calls anarchists or left wing, and then saying to everybody else, don't worry, I'll protect you from these guys.
You know why, Cenk? Because think about how Donald Trump's brain works. And believe it or not, there's somewhat of a brain in there. And it doesn't operate appropriately, but it operates in a way that's all about optics, right? So I can't ever forget about what he told reporters at the Wall Street Journal about masks, how he feels that people are wearing masks in the middle of this pandemic to make him look bad. And right now he's in panic mode. He sees the poll numbers. He knows they're not fake, even though he claims they are. And he sees that if the election were to be held today, he would not be reelected. And so in his mind, okay, we got to get rid of the optics of people out on the streets. We got to get rid of the optics, the visuals of unrest. We got to get rid of the visuals of people who are sick or could get sick or are afraid of getting sick. So let's try to get people to avoid wearing masks. That's what his MO is. This is who Trump is. He's all about that reality show fakeness of making it appear as though everything is rosy and great, so he looks good, so he can get reelected. That's what this is about. And if you're a peaceful protester and you happen to be in Portland, Oakland, Chicago, all of these places that are now dealing with the threat of federal agents, you're a little less likely to go out there and protest if this type of intimidation and terror is taking place on the streets of your city. This is what he wants. He wants to prevent people from going out there and practicing their constitutionally protected right to protest.
And last thing is what I've been mentioning from the get-go when we first covered the Portland story, and it's could come to fruition in Oakland. So the Oakland police commissioner said they are not welcome, and in Philadelphia too, where the local DA said if they break local laws, the federal officers, they break local laws, I'm going to arrest them, and then they will be tried by a Philadelphia jury. So come and find out, okay? And so now we have the possibility that in cities like Oakland and Philadelphia, local law enforcement and federal law enforcement might pull weapons on one another. This is the mayhem that Donald Trump has created. He says we're gonna send a force into Detroit. Mayor of Detroit was like, why? We've actually been one of the most peaceful cities throughout all of these protests. There's been no fires, no rioting, no nothing in Detroit. Why? Because Donald Trump's a racist and he thinks Detroit, black people, dangerous. I'm sending people to Detroit, okay? Based on no evidence and no facts at all, right? And so the reason why we have the former government that we have, it was thought out. It's not an accident. People have to do the different jobs at the different levels. So if federal law enforcement tries to get in the way of local law enforcement, of course, at some point, they're going to have a disastrous clash. So, and Trump thinks chaos is not a pit, but a ladder. He thinks that chaos helps him. And so he's trying to create more and more chaos, and in his mind, protect his people. And you know exactly what that means when he says our people. And that he thinks that the country is as racist as he is. And if he does that, that he'll get the majority of people to vote for him. I think he's wrong, And I think he's going to lose in a landslide election, but we're going to find out.
So when we come back from the break, I want to share a story indicating that there is some collusion happening between local police unions and these federal agents. Come right back and I'll give you the details.
We need to talk about a relatively new show called Unfucking the Republic, or UNFTR. As a Young Turks fan, you already know that the government, the media, and corporations are constantly peddling lies that serve the interests of the rich and powerful. But now there's a podcast dedicated to unraveling those lies, debunking the conventional wisdom. In each episode of Unfucking the Republic, or UNFTR, the host delves into a different historical episode or topic that's generally misunderstood or purposely obfuscated by the so-called powers that be, featuring in-depth research, razor-sharp commentary, and just the right amount of vulgarity. The UNFTR podcast takes a sledgehammer to what you thought you knew about some of the nation's most sacred historical cows. But don't just take my word for it. The New York Times described UNFTR as consistently compelling and educational, aiming to challenge conventional wisdom and upend the historical narratives that were taught in school. For as the great philosopher Yoda once put it,
"You must unlearn what you have learned."
And that's true whether you're in Jedi training or you're uprooting and exposing all the propaganda and disinformation you've been fed over the course of your lifetime. So search for UNFDR in your podcast app today and get ready to get informed, angered, and entertained all at the same time.
All right, back at the Young Turks, Jake and Anna with you guys. Let's go to our members. Actually, before we do that, I just want to thank Aspiration. They're our sponsor, and they've really stuck with us through thick and thin. As you know, advertising has been a disaster for everybody in the industry. Aspiration stuck with us because they believe in you guys. And they've also now planted a million trees. It's just, it's a good company, and it's a really good place to keep your money. And so aspiration.com/TYT, aspiration.com/TYT, they're just great. So now let's go to our members. Effecto says, can I suggest some things we can name for the quarantined era? Anna's map wall. Okay.
I'm over the map wall. I can't. The LA backdrop was better. It was. I tried it, but you guys got to give me credit for experimenting, right?
Credit received. Good. We can name both the map wall and the LA backdrop. Jenks TYT wall. I'll do that in a second. Let's make that happen. Anna's mic that could bludgeon someone. Each of John. I know, right? I got a pretty big mic too. You want to see it? That sounds weird. Okay. This is the one that might be on the shirt. Anyways, okay.
We have the same kind of mic, yeah.
Yeah, each of John's board games. I like all these ideas. Okay, let's go to the rest. Robert D says, luckily for the Gestapo in Portland, they're not trying to make the protesters pay taxes. The Bundy bros would make them pay for their tyranny. You heard my spirit animal says, going to be sending money all evening. Love you guys. Let me pause there to look at the thermometer and see where we are with that, guys. So we started out at started the day at zero, started the show around $3,000. Let's go to tyt.com/go. It still says $3,403. So that I think is wrong, but maybe I'm not. Maybe I'm wrong. Okay. Anyways, Brent's making signals like, I have no idea what that number is.
Okay. We gotta go.
I know. Come like a bomb. Okay. Oh, 6,652. Love you guys. Keep it going. All right. Come like a bomb says, I donated $127 the other day, but I haven't heard anything about the shirt. Who could I ask? I'm going to look into that for you and tell you later in the show. Thank you. And 0083 has a great point. Says the Democrats should defund the agencies that Trump is putting on the streets without permission from the state's governors. Of course, but that would require courage from the Democrats. And of course, that's not really going to happen. Max Moraski says on YouTube Super Chat, Jenk, Anna, and John, you're all my heroes. Thanks for fighting for us. Much love from Wisconsin. Hashtag we press on. Love you, Max. All right, Anna, what's next?
All right. While state and local politicians are making clear that they do not welcome Donald Trump's federal agents in their municipalities, it turns out there is some reporting indicating that police unions have been colluding with federal agents in order to crack down on peaceful protesters. So this was an important story that the Daily Beast broke, and I want to give Kelly Wheel a lot of credit for reporting about this, because again, you have local politicians, you have mayors, governors who are saying, no, we do not want these federal agents here. They're actually causing a lot more chaos. And then now we're hearing from some of these police unions who are like, we want some help from the federal government, even though it's unconstitutional to have these federal agents do what they're doing. So according to the reporting, the president of Portland's police union met with the head of the Department of Homeland Security last week to discuss the agents, apparently without the knowledge of the city's police chief. Daryl Turner, president of the city's police union, met with acting Homeland Security Secretary Chad Wolf last week. Turner told media that he hoped to help federal agents work more easily with local police. Turner's meeting with Wolf came the same month that the Portland Police Association, the local union, passed a vote of no confidence against the city's elected officials, which might explain the reason why they're working against the elected officials and colluding with the Department of Homeland Security here. And this isn't the only case. Through this reporting, we've also learned that the president of Chicago's police union made his own envoys asking Trump for federal intervention. In an open letter on the union's Facebook page, the union head decried unspecified chaos in the city and slammed Chicago's mayor for failing to maintain law and order. The letter asked Trump for help from the federal government. Now, again, as we've talked about in previous stories, what the Trump administration is doing with these federal agents is unconstitutional. Many of these protesters, all of these protesters that we've learned about who have been detained, were detained without any charges, with no probable cause. This is the type of behavior and activity you would see in an authoritarian regime. And so we have union leaders, police union leaders, who are celebrating, encouraging, and welcoming this type of, you know, authoritarian behavior.
So look, we've got far too many unions in this country that are weirdly conservative. And usually now the union members, it's usually union leadership. But the police union is over the top. Not only are they not working with the local mayors and governors, but they're actually going behind their police chief's back and inviting Trump to come to their cities, as they are in Chicago. And apparently we're very happy to work with Trump's federal forces in Portland until the media started covering it more. And then the local mayor got embarrassed and now is saying, oh, no, we're not going to do cooperation anymore. Oh, so you were doing cooperation and you were sharing a local command center. So let's just be honest about that. And he's a Democrat, Ted Wheeler. But it's in all of those cases, it's the police union chief that is going and saying, I don't care about the law. I don't care about democracy, serving the people of this city. No, if Trump's going to send people to help us crack skulls, can't wait. That's what we get off on. So that's what we're going to do. And that's what we're going to protect our members by allowing them to crack more of your skulls. So I got no sympathy for them at all. And they don't serve those cities. No, oftentimes live outside those cities and they view themselves as an occupying force. And so they are now viewing what Trump is doing as sending a more military backup to control the population of those cities, certainly not to protect them, to serve them.
So, Cenk, I'm so glad that you mentioned the fact that a lot of these cops don't live in the cities that they patrol, right? And so when you hear about this type of teamwork between these cops, the police union and the federal agents, you know, I think any rational human would ask, well, why would police want to see their own cities destroyed like this? Why would they want to see this type of authoritarian behavior in their cities? And it's because they don't actually live in these areas. And one person who really perfectly summed that up was a man by the name of Youssef Abdul Qadir, and he spoke at a meeting in Syracuse, New York. And what he shares in the next two clips that I'm going to show you is true of so many different parts of this country and why it's such a problem to have police who are patrolling cities not actually live in those cities. Take a look.
What percent of the police live in a city?
5% or so.
5%, so 95% don't live in the city.
Yes,
so when you say that the vast majority of the percentage goes towards salaries, et cetera, fringe benefits, that means that they take their money on 81, go to outside the city, pay taxes in those communities that have some of the best schools while we have an underfunded school district.
$60 million up.
So I just want to put into context what we're talking about, because it's really easy to say, Mayor, and with all due respect, I like you. But that was a very politician answer.
What specifically?
We will consider and we will look. What we're saying is we're not interested in considering and looking. What we're saying is actually there's 50 million, commit to 20 million cut.
Right.
Because we're sending money as the mayor of Syracuse. When you don't have a tax base, you're sending money out of Syracuse, and not just for 30 years, for the rest of their life. Because their pensions, their health insurance, their families. So we are funding for other people's communities to have the promise of the American dream while we are denying it in our community. That's the context that you as the mayor have to look at this under.
I just love that argument so much. And I think that it's an important angle to consider when debating the whole notion of defunding police, right? Because remember, these are people living in a community who have seen their local public school budgets slashed over and over again, while the funding for the police department has continued to go up, right? And so when you're arguing that, well, you know, this is important, this actually benefits our city to fund the police, to overfund the police, you know, to the detriment of all these other programs that people need. The truth is, these are individuals who are getting paid and then later, you know, leaving that area, paying their property taxes, paying their overall taxes in a completely different community that they're not policing. So I love that argument. It was powerful. And I think it's important for people to know how their local finances really work, where the money really goes, and whether or not what people are spending their hard-earned tax dollars on is really going back to benefit their community.
All right, just a fun personal note for a second. I'm proud of Abdul Qadir in a couple of ways. My grandfather's name was Abdul Qadir, and that's why my middle name is Qadir. So anyway, rhino, random. But I thought he made a great, great point. Now on the relevant stuff. Because look, there's one problem with police living outside the cities that has always been here, which is they don't feel connected to the community. So in LA, for example, the cops usually lived in Simi Valley or Orange County, but outside of the city. And hence they felt like this is not our home. Our home is Simi Valley, where and it's a totally different demographic, much more white, much less Latino or Black. And so they felt like, oh, we got to come in here to keep these guys under, you know, rule of what we consider to be law and order, right? I think anyone who says the cops were coming in to a place like LA because they really wanted to protect and serve their community, it's just so disingenuous. That is not at all the culture that actually existed in the LAPD. And so, and by the way, you know where LA originally got their cops from? Alabama. They recruited them from Alabama and then put them in places like South Central and Compton, et cetera. And that's why LAPD was considered the biggest gang in Los Angeles. So this has been happening for a long time. But what Abdul Qadir just said is new. He's like, well, not only has that happened, but also you're taking away from our tax base. And so it's harmful in two different ways. And that's a brilliant point. And especially when the cops then turn around and have their unions and their union chiefs go, hey, you know what? We want to bring in federal unaccountable secret police so that they could help us occupy this city better. Well, then there's really no argument to be made for these occupying forces ruling our communities.
All right, I'm gonna steamroll ahead and do our next story. And it has to do with COVID-19, some updates on that. So Donald Trump's in-person rallies have been a complete and utter nightmare. People haven't been showing up. He's embarrassed by the empty arenas. That certainly happened in Tulsa. And then eventually his campaign had no choice but to cancel a planned rally in New Hampshire because they were expecting it to be another empty event. Now he has decided to use coronavirus briefings as a substitute. If you can recall, early on in the pandemic, he was doing these briefings and they were so embarrassing and they hurt his poll numbers so much that his campaign advised him to stop doing them. Well, now he is switching gears and he's realizing, well, maybe I should do this because it's the highest rated reality show in the country. He makes that argument. Take a look.
Well, we had very successful briefings. I was doing them, and we had a lot of people watching, record numbers watching. In the history of cable television, there's never been anything like it. And we were doing very well. And I thought it would be sort of automatic, and a lot of positive things were happening. And frankly, a lot of the country is doing well. A lot of people don't say, as you understand. But we have had this big flare-up in Florida, Texas, a couple of other places. So I think what we're going to do is I'll get involved and we'll start doing briefings, whether it's this afternoon or tomorrow, probably tomorrow, and I'll do briefings. And part of the briefing, I think, much more so than last time, because last time we were nowhere with vaccines or therapeutics. And let's say that ended 6 weeks ago, we'll start them again. And I think it's a great way to get information out to the public as to where we are with the vaccines, with the therapeutics, and generally speaking, where we are.
Now, to be fair, the viewership for those briefings was definitely high, as the New York Times reports. It had an average audience of around 8.5 million, or roughly the equivalent of the season finale of The Bachelor. And he said he would probably start again today. And he did start again today. So we're going to show you a clip of that in just a minute. But before we do, I just want to go back to what he said about how he was doing very well with those briefings. Just want to refresh your memory about what it meant to do very well during those briefings. This is what it looked like.
Hydroxychloroquine. The nice part is it's been around for a long time. So we know that if things don't go as planned, it's not going to kill anybody. There's a possibility. And I say it, what do you have to lose? I'll say it again, what do you have to lose? Take it. I just think it's something, you know, the expression, I've used it for certain reasons. What do you have to lose? What do you have to lose? But hydroxychloroquine, try it if you'd like. It will be not a game changer, because that's not a nice enough term. It will be wonderful. It'll be so beautiful. It'll be a gift from heaven. They say taking it before the fact is good, but what do you have to lose?
You also weigh in on this issue of hydroxychloroquine. What do you think about this, and what is the medical evidence?
That question?
Yeah. Well, I
maybe
15, the doctor.
15 times. You don't have to ask.
He's your medical expert, correct?
He's answered that question 15 times. Then I see the disinfectant where it knocks it out in a minute, 1 minute. And is there a way we can do something like that by injection inside or almost a cleaning?
Can you say, sir, what metrics you will use to make that decision?
The metrics right here. That's my metrics. That's all I can do. I'm not a doctor, but I'm like a person that has a good, you know what.
People tuning into these briefings, they want to get information and guidance and want to know what to do. They're not looking for rumors.
I'm the president and you're fake news.
So according to Donald Trump, telling people to inject themselves with disinfectant is doing very well with these briefings. And unfortunately, the briefings have begun again today. We'll show you a clip of that in just a minute. But Cenk, I wanted you to weigh in first.
Yeah. So let me give the quick history of this. So when the pandemic first hit, Donald Trump's ratings actually went up. And there's good reason for that. Whenever there's a national emergency, the ratings of every president goes up. After we were attacked on 9/11, George W. Bush's popularity rating got into the 90s. So people go, okay, well, let's rally around the leader. What changed that? Well, the epidemic kept getting worse, but most importantly, it was Donald Trump doing these press briefings. Now, they're right that 8.5 million is a big number, but of course, he doesn't give you the context. Since everything he says is a lie, I feel obliged to tell you the reality. Number one, if every news channel is covering you at the same time, you will have higher ratings. Okay, almost anyone that everyone covers will get 8.5 million viewers combined. But even so, NER used to get 30 million viewers at a time. So none of his facts are right. But that's the least important part. But what people saw when they started watching those was a guy that they were not familiar with, because most people do not watch the news that closely. And so when they were panicked, they're worried about their family, they tune in. A lot of people see the president and they see him talking about injecting bleach. And they're like, what? No. Oh my God, I didn't know. I thought it was fake news. It turns out he is that dumb. I mean, when he says things like, this is the metric, what does that mean? Your mind is not even a metric. A metric is a measure of something. He's so unbelievably stupid. On hydroxy, he said, what do you have to lose? What do you have to lose? You saw it a million times. A family, I covered this story recently, had their daughter who's 17 years old, who had issues with her immune system, go to a church gathering with no social distancing and no masks. They were like, no, it's okay. We're going to do a hydroxy on her. She died. I'm not saying she died because of the hydroxy, but the hydroxy certainly didn't save her. And so that's what you have to lose,
right?
People's lives. And so now his poll numbers continued to decline after the press briefings were over. They were such a disaster. People are like, you got to stop. Otherwise, you have no chance of winning. So, but the numbers declined because things never got any better. Things continued to devolve even more so. So now he's going to go back because he's obsessed with celebrityness, television, ratings. He even said, oh, we got 5 o'clock. It's a good slot. You're not a TV host anymore. You're the president of the United States. So when he goes back, he thinks it's going to get better. It's not going to get better. It's going to continue to slide down. I guarantee it.
Well, he did hold a briefing today. We're going to show you a short clip of that. And then I will share with you why ABC News is not to be trusted. Take a look.
Young adults may often have mild or even no symptoms. They won't even know they're sick. They won't have any idea that they have a virus. They won't have any idea at all. America's youth will act responsibly, and we're asking everybody that when you are not able to socially distance, wear a mask, get a mask. Whether you like the mask or not, they have an impact, they'll have an effect, and we need everything we can get.
So in response to the way Trump handled the briefing today, ABC News Politics tweeted the following. The president is displaying a new tone and a new level of engagement after aides and allies have pleaded with him to recognize the gravity of the moment. Rick Klein writes, okay, Rick Klein is a moron. Rick Klein should be out of a job if this is the take he's gonna have. We have more than 140,000 Americans dead, they're gone. More of them are gonna die. The lack of leadership, the incompetence, the narcissism, the selfishness, oh, so presidential. Donald Trump, for half a second, took coronavirus kind of seriously because he's worried about his chances of getting reelected. So he's trying out a new tone. So presidential. Rick Klein, you suck. You suck. Rick Klein is the type of person who got someone like Donald Trump elected. So, Jake, I agree with you. Trump is a disaster. His poll numbers are a disaster. And if he continues doing what Trump is going to trump. Okay, he might try to do the right thing or say the right thing for like half a second, but we all know where Trump is gonna go next. Okay, because he's a narcissistic, selfish, delusional person. No one should give him credit ever until there's actually a sustained pattern of Trump acting like an adult. But it's just unbelievable and laughable to say that he understands the severity of the moment because he told people to wear a mask for the first time. Grow up. Anyway.
All right, Brett, if you have the Europe and US graph, I'll take that again. So look, all right, we don't have it. I've showed it to you many times. Our numbers go up along with Europe's, and then Europe's numbers go down, and our numbers skyrocket. And the reason why that happened, both in cases and deaths, is because of Donald Trump's incompetence. So 7 months into the epidemic and 4 months into us going into lockdown, Donald Trump finally realizes that maybe we should wear a mask, even if he doesn't like how it looks on him. And it's still at this point, media is saying, oh, it's so presidential. Oh, come on, right? So it isn't about one particular reporter like Rick Klein, it's groupthink. And almost 4 years in, they're still like, this is the day he became president. I don't know if it's some of them really are Republicans and are desperate to show anything that makes Donald Trump look good, because on a regular basis, 99% of the time, he looks like a jackass. But much more likely, it's not that the reporters are Republicans, it's that they're all told, you have to be neutral, you have to find something good that Trump did, and then equate it to all of the monstrosity that he has done, and then declare him president. And then that way, you won't be biased, and Republicans won't yell at you. That's not good journalism, that's cowardice. So call it what it is, he's been an epic disaster, and there's 140,000 dead, largely because of his incompetence. That number could have been much, much smaller, and was much smaller all throughout the world.
When we come back from the break, we have more for you, stick around.
At TYT, we frequently talk about all the ways that big tech companies are taking control of our online lives, constantly monitoring us and storing and selling our data. But that doesn't mean we have to let them. It's possible to stay anonymous online and hide your data from the prying eyes of big tech. And one of the best ways is with ExpressVPN. ExpressVPN hides your IP address, making your active ID more difficult to trace and sell to advertisers. ExpressVPN also encrypts 100% of your network data to protect you from eavesdroppers and cyber criminals. And it's also easy to install. A single mouse click protects all your devices. But listen, guys, this is important. ExpressVPN is rated number one by CNET and Wired magazine. So take back control of your life online and secure your data with a top VPN solution available, ExpressVPN. And if you go to expressvpn.com/TYT, you can get 3 extra months for free with this exclusive link just for TYT fans. That's expressvpn.com/TYT. Check it out today.
All right, back on the Young Turks. Just some guy writes in our member section, LOL, but seriously, how does Anna manage to look so magnificent all the time during this pandemic? I've looked like a shambly mess on a daily basis since this started. I need the secret.
Okay, no, just real quick, I'm going to shoot myself in the foot by doing this because we got to go. But I no one commented on it, but I did my own hair, guys.
Oh.
Come on.
Hey,
I did my own highlights.
Okay. I'm a European soccer star, but you got some nice highlights. And folks on Infinity says, get Amanda. I want to just read this last one. I love you guys on YouTube Super Chat. I don't have time for it, but you guys are the best. Theater Ghana says, is Joe from Aspiration still working with Blue Apron? It would be a good company to advertise on TYT, both because we love Joe and because people are getting sick of their own cooking. That's actually a good idea. We'll follow up on it. Joe's also on the TYT donor wall. Let's take a look at the thermometer super duper quick. TYT.com/go. We're trying to get to 50,000 today. We got so much programming for you guys coming up. Let's see if we can get to 10,000 before the next segment. 9,163. Love you. Anna, go.
All right. Well, turns out that conservatives get super triggered when it comes to reality and facts about what causes some crimes. Representative Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez was confronted by an unhinged Republican lawmaker who doesn't like the fact that some crimes are committed due to desperation, due to poverty. So according to The Hill, in a brief but heated exchange, which was overheard by a reporter, Representative Ted Yoho told Ocasio-Cortez she was disgusting for recently suggesting that poverty and unemployment are driving a spike in crime in New York City during the coronavirus pandemic. Now, when it comes to crime, AOC argues that maybe, you know, the fact that people don't have the means to provide for themselves and their children leads to them doing certain things like, let's say, shoplifting, committing acts of desperation. And in response to that, Yoho told her, you're out of your freaking mind. And then Ocasio-Cortez shot back, telling him that he was being rude. At that point, he was walking away from her. And based on what a reporter says, because this reporter overheard him, he called her an effing bitch. Okay. And so she later said, that kind of confrontation hasn't ever happened to me, ever. I've never had that kind of abrupt, disgusting kind of disrespect levied at me. Representative Roger Williams was also with Yoho when he made that statement, but he wimped out and refused to condemn that type of language. He pretended as though he didn't hear any of it. I'm not buying that at all. These men are complete cowards.
Yeah. So look, El Pollo Yoho has been problematic for a long time. And I don't have time to get into all of the insane things he said in the past, but there's a silver lining here. First, let me just say the obvious things. He's a total ass. Obviously, he shouldn't have said that to AOC. And what's to me even more problematic is all of conservative media, the liars that they are quoting her out of context. She clearly was talking about petty theft, and they're pretending that she was talking about murder and serious crimes when she literally said that wasn't what she was talking about. And they're purposely twisting her words. They're the worst. And so are these Republican politicians. So where in the world is the silver lining? They should disrespect each other more. I don't mean they should yell and be personally insulting like that. But I find it stunning that no one has had any confrontation with AOC in 2 years. None of them agree on anything. If they're going around palling around and, you know, having tea and crumpets together, no wonder we're not getting anything done. Let's take the veneer off and let's go, okay? You shouldn't be polite to Ted Yoho. Yoho's a monster. And you also shouldn't, in my opinion, you shouldn't be polite to Pelosi. And I know, oh my God, well, I mean, Jesus, the respect and the institutions and the club, I don't care. I don't respect any of that. I only respect the voters. So I hope they all get a little bit more honest with each other. You guys don't agree, and you should fight like you don't agree.
Yeah, and also, I mean, just this outright rejection of what the reality is. Crimes are committed because of desperation. And we have seen crime spike a little bit during this coronavirus pandemic because of the fact that people are not getting access to funds that they need just to survive. So let's just call it what it is. And yeah, I agree with you. I think we need to get rid of the veneer and be real.
So public post game with so many more stories is coming up next. So don't go anywhere. It's for everyone. We'll be right back.
Thanks for listening to the full episode of The Young Turks. Support our work, listen ad-free, access members-only bonus content, and more by subscribing to Apple Podcasts at apple.co/TYT. I'm your host, Cenk Uygur, and I'll see you soon.